coming to you from our new home at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts. We are the Superflex Super Show. We talk QB values, Superflex strategies, evaluate and debate Superflex trades, plus our own twist on Superflex team management with exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, and You Are Nuts. So when you're done with this awesome DLF podcast, find us on Twitter at Superflex Show and join us in the discussion of the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Session 36 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. I forgot to update the session number in the show sheet, but I still got it right. We're off to a good start.
Off to a good start.
So, Brian, I need Alshon to score me 12 more points to get me the one seed. Doesn't seem to be going great right now because he has two catches for 22 yards at the moment. So like 2 weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for full tilt outhouse when it doesn't happen for me.
Or full celebratory outhouse if it does.
Yes, we'll get flipped.
Alshon. Nope, that wasn't him. That was Zach Ertz.
Stop that. That's not cool. Yeah, and of course, my cable doesn't work in the basement all of a sudden, so I can't actually watch ESPN. So I purposely faced my desk and my computer away from the TV right now, just so I don't even have like the anger of staring at it. But we are here for Session 36. That's what we're here about. We are going to finish up our bold takes. If there's time, we'll hit the hot takes. Last week, we did AFC, NFC, East, and North, which means we're doing West and South this week. I hit the wrong button. There you go. But first, we're going to hit up the news, which, again, this time of year is, hey, who got hurt this week?
So who got hurt this week?
Nice. Well, I'll take it. It worked. All right, so AJ Green went down.
Again.
Non-contact, just grabbed his foot after his I'm not getting shut down, which means something's probably actually wrong. Either that or he just saw how bad the first half was going and he's like, nah, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is out for the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 to 4 months. Needs toe surgery, out 3 to 4 months.
Oh, is that real? I didn't even see that happen yet. All right, that's the nail in the coffin of my Trade Addicts 2 team. It was nice while it lasted. If I had a soundboard, I'd start playing taps right now. James Conner went down. Yeah. I've heard different things on this. Tomlin, I think, just said he had a contusion and that he's fine. Other people are saying it's a high ankle sprain, which means a couple of weeks. I'm tilting a little bit because one of my championship headbound teams has James Conner on it. Mr. Insider, Steelers fan, have you heard anything?
Same thing. I mean, initially, I think the worry was high ankle sprain, but then Tomlin said a contusion after the game. I heard they were waiting to see how bad it was swollen and if the swelling went down. So, I mean, we'll know pretty quick, I think, with Connor. If he goes this week, it wasn't a high ankle sprain.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And if he's out, then the likelihood is
Jalen Samuels
missed a game or two. Yeah, I would say Samuels is the guy that's going to
catch the ball at least.
Yeah. He'll be the pass catching back, I think. Ridley will get a couple touches in there too. I mean, he'll get some work running the ball, but I think the main takeaway from Connor's injury is if he misses time, Ben Roethlisberger, excuse me, I apologize, can't speak tonight. Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw the ball 55 times. I mean, they're just going to.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. I mean, with the pick.
Last game wasn't very pretty.
Jeez, man, with the interceptions. I mean, he's throwing multiple interceptions almost every game now. So now he's also thrown multiple touchdowns almost every game. So it's one of those. you live and die by the sword things, but but I do think that the passing game will increase dramatically, which is good for guys like Juju and Antonio Brown, you know, Vance McDonald. And then, yeah, Samuels. I think Samuels will get the pass catching work out of the backfield. So, but hopefully Connor's all right.
Yeah, for reals, man. Thoughts and prayers, buddy.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen went down. I don't actually know what happened to him. Do you have any idea?
I did see it.
All right, you're taking too long. Which sucks because he was my like go-to go by this tight end when you needed a tight end. So
his was also a foot injury. Season-ending foot injury.
Okay, so
all these guys, all these guys are hurting their feet.
All right, well, they're large dudes. I guess that's what happens. All that weight and power on your foot. Are we going to try and trust Ian Thomas, or are we just staying away?
Yeah, I'm staying away from that.
Go grab Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore.
Yep. And Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. It's hard to imagine him getting even more work.
If the training wheels were on, they are off now.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, he's gonna catch even more passes out of the backfield, which is crazy. But yeah, no, I'm not really interested in. To be honest with you, I wasn't super interested in Olsen either at this point. I mean, he's serviceable. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we talk, you know, all the time about we both kind of throw tight ends quite a bit in leagues. So those are the types of guys that we are looking for. But you know, but Olsen hasn't been the same player the last year and a half or so. So, you know, hopefully he can recover from this, though. I'd, you know, like to see him come back, I guess. But yeah, no, I'm not really interested in Thomas or any of the tight ends there.
Yeah, and sad. Christian Kirk to the injured reserve. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald time. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. That team isn't going very far. Maybe, you know, Christian Kirk sacrificed his season so DJ and Fitz can help you win championships.
Yeah, hopefully. If they quit giving the ball to Chase freaking Edmonds.
I have him on two best ball rosters.
I hate that guy. I mean, I don't hate him, but I hate him. He's wrecking my DJ shares.
To be fair, yeah, I would have a much easier time selling DJ to you in Trade Addicts 3 if DJ scored those two touchdowns.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that was brutal. All right, and I have my fair share of DJ shares too. So
yeah, so I assume no one was counting on Christian Kirk for their championship runs, but if you wanted to now go by Larry Fitz, it's even a prettier picture for him now. And if someone who has Christian Kirk is silly and lowers his price, go buy him because he's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Willing to send a 2019 first for Christian Kirk? How high of a 2019 first? Early of a 2019 first would you send?
I'd say middle. I'd say mid first.
Yeah, I think right now we're assuming the first running back is like 106-ish.
Yeah, I'd send the one. I'd probably send that.
Yeah, like 5 or 6.
Maybe.
I probably think I would.
Yeah, somewhere in that 5 through 7 range, depending on who's, you know, who you like in the class. Probably 4 or 5 wide receivers I'd consider, and maybe 1 running back.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't actually know anybody yet. I have to start listening. Devy owners, man, I'm still talking about too much defense. I have to write those guys a letter. Give me fantasy advice, people.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Mike McCarthy got fired, which we're cheering and we're happy. At this point, I don't know if I care. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he sparks up a bit because he always has such a puss on his face. I mean, Aaron Jones was getting the ball, so it's not like we had, you know, we can celebrate that Aaron Jones is now off the chain because he kind of was.
But in true Mike McCarthy fashion,
he gave Jamal Williams half the touches.
Yes, exactly 50%. 11 touches for each of those running backs after what Aaron Jones has done the last 3 weeks.
He knew. He knew he was out.
I mean, it's almost like he did it just to be defiant or something. I don't get it at all. And I'm not happy. I mean, McCarthy is a Western PA guy. So he's always been a guy that I've kind of followed, you know, and he did some great things there in Green Bay, obviously. I mean, winning that Super Bowl over the Steelers, mm-hmm. In Super Bowl 45, and having the Packers, you know, perennial playoff contenders and Super Bowl contenders, even though they underachieved almost every year after they won that Super Bowl. So
things get stale. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's like Coughlin and the Giants. He never was doing all that bad, but after a while, it's just time to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I can see that. Yep, and I think it should help Green Bay, especially in the short term. And then we'll see if McCarthy gets another job. He's been linked to the Browns already, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, I don't know that Baker Mayfield would be real grateful for that opportunity. but, you know, we'll see. The coaching carousel is just beginning, so... we're going to have tons to talk about with the coaching scenarios over the off season. So,
yep. All right. Last but not least, the Kareem Hunt mess. Now, we're not going to super talk about Kareem Hunt too much because it's a mess. If you were going to sell him, you probably would have done it already at this point. You might as well hold on to see what happens. But really, we're going to talk more about Spencer Ware right now.
Yep,
he got a touchdown, which made his numbers look nice. Otherwise, I don't think he did too great.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about a Trade Addicts trade a little out of order, because my man, my co-host, Brian Haar, ladies and gentlemen, did a Trade Addicts 3 trade. Spencer Ware and Trey Quinn for what looks to be a mid-19 second. Now, to me, this is pretty much what you're looking for with Spencer Ware, especially now after the game. I still think this is the exact trade that will get things done. I don't think anyone is so deluded to give up a first after that first like rush of adrenaline of Hunt getting released. Mm-hmm. So good job, Brian.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I have Kareem Hunt in this league. I own Hunt in this league. Yeah, I don't own Kareem Hunt. He's on my team. so it made sense for me to go after Ware. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I it's not, I have other running backs in this league too, so I'm not in dire straits, but I did want, you know, if the price was right, I wanted to acquire Ware so that I had him, you know, in case something happened. And then obviously that evening something did happen. So I think this trade was completed about an hour before Kansas City released him. So, I didn't want to come in. You know, I knew the hype of, oh my gosh, now Ware's going to have all this work and this opportunity. You know, I knew, you know, a third wasn't going to get it done. So I actually had a couple seconds and the gentleman, you know, he was trying to see what we could do. And I just said, you know, I'll give you a second if you throw in Trey Quinn. And he said, yep, I'll do that. So that's what we did.
Mr. Irrelevant isn't so irrelevant anymore. So
it was a good call. I like him. Yeah, I like Quinn too. I mean, that's a piece that you know, I mean short term, obviously, I mean that offense is kind of a mess, but I liked him coming out of school at SMU there. And you know, so we'll see what happens with that. But it wasn't a huge trade, but yeah, I mean
what you need to do right now.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
we'll have more of those later on, I believe.
Yep.
But let's get to our bold takes, because I'm tired of talking about sad news things.
Bold takes.
This
is the review of the bold takes.
Review of bold takes. Mine sounds like an old wizard.
Go right, on Gandalf. This adventure.
Gandalf. All right, here we go. Wow. All right, so first we're going to do... the North. No, that wasn't good. All right. So Casey, the Casey Kasem was our guest for the North. Her first prediction was for the Packers and that Jimmy Graham was going to score the most tight end touchdowns. I really first should have started off by saying I did all of this research last week and there was no way in hell I was doing it again to update it. So this is still last week's information. Because no, don't... I did way too much. Didn't care enough to do it again. So, Jimmy Graham, most tight end touchdowns. Sadly, no. Eric Ebron had 11. Did he score? I don't think he scored again. So
no, he didn't score this week. So, they got shut out.
Right. That
was shocking to me.
Thanks, Adam Vinatieri, getting me no points and getting me kicked out of the playoffs. Span kickers, hashtag. And Jimmy Graham has two. So he is not going to score the most touchdowns by a tight end.
No. He hasn't been used in Green Bay. He's been used like every other tight end in Green Bay in the Aaron Rodgers.
What's weird is he seems to be a safety blanket when one is needed. When they're down and like 2 minute drives, he's there 5 yard, go for a catch. Like he got 2 weeks ago, he got two catches. Both of them were in the last quarter. And this week he got like three in a row in the 2 minute drives. So, I mean, maybe if you hope that Green Bay has a bad game script, that's when you play Jimmy Graham. But I mean, that's kind of tough to predict.
Right.
Moving on, the Lions, Matt Stafford will throw for 30 touchdowns. He was at 17 2 weeks ago. Still don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That team's also a mess now, especially yeah. Tate gone, carry on hurt.
By the way, did you see? So Kenny Golladay made a catch in the back of the end zone that he came down and his toes were on the white line. So it was
did not care. Pass.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm telling you, it was a pretty sick catch. That guy can go up and get the ball.
He stretched. It was like Elastic Man. Like he stretched further than I think his body should have.
Yeah, that was cool,
man. If he got that second toe down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw.
Yeah.
For the Vikings, Kyle Rudolph will finish outside of the top 10 tight ends. And he was tight end 11 as of last week. Yep. And not really being used. If there were actually usable tight ends that stayed healthy, I think he would be even further down.
Yeah.
And tight end is such a mess, and he's still only tight end 11. So I'm going to call this a victory for Casey.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
And this is one I think we all agreed on. And you've been coming more on board every week, and you won't trade him to me. Well, back to me, I think. For the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky will throw for over 4,000 yards. At the time last week, he was projected for 2,000. Well, no, he had 2,469 and projected out for 3,457. I kind of just forgot that he missed two games, so not going to happen. But he was doing awesome. He's like that defense looked very bad in the beginning. Like we both ended up making amends for that offense at some point or another, and they clicked. I don't think it's what we thought it would look like, but they're finding a way to make it work. So I kind of. If you're playing Dynasty, which is I assume you are if you're listening to this podcast, I want in on that offense.
Yeah, well, and especially when it comes to Trubisky. I mean, I don't know. It still seems like the jury's out. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't convinced with him. But the more I watch him play, the more I think he's a good quarterback. And I think he's going to put up good fantasy numbers, regardless of whether or not the Bears win a lot of games. Now, they happen to be winning a lot of games right now. Just lost to the Giants this past week. But, they were 8-3 going into that game. So, and a lot of that has to do with Mitch Trubisky and the way that he's playing. A lot of it has to do with that defense, too, and Khalil Mack coming over there. But Trubisky's been
games.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the last two games without Mitch in there, they've been, they haven't been clicking like they were the three games previous. So, I think he would have had a shot at 4,000 yards had he not been injured. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I kind of want that. And Cohen's the other guy. I think that, he's just so we'll get into him here in a minute, but he's up and down, but that guy's explosive
and can throw touchdowns
and apparently can throw touchdowns. Yeah. That was a nice ball to Anthony Miller. Yep.
All right. Why don't you read the,
AFC North.
There you go.
All right. Yeah.
Casey's staring at the team names. I'm just like, what are these guys? Yeah. This is your division. Why don't you go for it?
All right. So this is Casey. These are Casey's bold takes that we're reviewing with the North, the AFC North. The Browns, her bold take was that Dez Bryant signs with the Browns and becomes a wide receiver too. We can keep this one short and sweet. This was a nope.
Nope.
Dez obviously didn't sign until mid-season with the Saints. He had three practices and tore his Achilles, so he did not put up a statistic this season, and especially for the Browns. The Bengals, AJ Green outside of the top 12 wide receivers. He currently is the wide receiver, or before this past week, yeah, was wide receiver 22. He was the wide receiver 12 in points per game, but he's obviously going to finish outside of the top 12 now with the injury. But he was right there, so that one, you know, I'd give that one to her, to Casey. Yes.
Which you're going to have to, because if we skip ahead to your bold takes for the Bengals,
yeah,
AJ Green will be a top 12 tight end. Tight end, man, that is not the right position.
Top 12 wide receiver.
That's the right one.
Yeah, and he will not be. So she Casey, you got me on that one. And then for the Steelers, she had Ben throwing 40 touchdowns with even home road splits. 24 touchdowns right now. Well, that was before.
So he's thrown 24 touchdowns as of now, right, and 9 out of 12 of his interceptions were on the road.
So the
splits was way too easy to see if they won or anything else. It was the easiest I could find was the interceptions, and he's throwing a lot more on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it does seem like, I mean,
yeah, you can give some anecdotal.
Yeah. Watching all the Steelers games, I mean, he is still performing a lot better on at Heinz Field than he is on the road. He did have a huge game against Jacksonville. He also threw, he literally threw 5 interceptions that game, 2 of which were overturned on penalties. So he threw 3 that counted that game, but he also threw, you know, he also brought them back in that game, and he had like 462 yards. But yeah, the interceptions are definitely higher on the road. So it's typical Ben. I do think he will. Well, I guess not. I mean, 40 TDs. That's,
I mean, I only think he threw 1 this week, right?
2. He's got 26 now.
Okay.
So, he's got 26 through 12 games. 13 games. 12 games. Yeah, 12 games. So, I doubt. I mean, that's 4 games he'd have to average like 4 touchdowns a game. So no.
Yo, I have him in a super flex league. I'm contending. Let's do it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I have him in several leagues as well, and that are super flex. So I could use him balling out too.
All right. So let's finish up with Casey being wrong again.
Yeah. So she, for the Ravens, she had Michael Crabtree over 1,000 yards, and he was at 500 before this past week. So that one's not going to happen either.
All right. Let's do this. It's not as much fun because you've sort of changed your tune.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? We're going to start. We'll say yours. We'll go to mine.
Yep.
Brian's hot bold take for the Green Bay Packers was that Davante Adams was going to finish for less than 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was that he was going to finish with 85 catches, 1,200 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go real time.
85 catches,
mm-hmm,
1,115,
mm-hmm,
and 11 touchdowns.
He is going to beat my bold take.
Yeah. Yeah, he only needs another,
85 yards.
85 yards
on 0 catches.
And what was the avatar bet? 1140, did we say?
1150.
1150, so he only needs another 35 yards receiving to...
No, I'll wait to make sure it happens, but I'm going to draft my DM to Jake to get that Davante Adams.
Well, you know what? And I'll gladly put it up because he's earned it. I mean, he's balling out. There's nothing I can say about it. I mean, Adams has had an unbelievable season, and he's changed my mind. I mean, I definitely have him up in the elite tier of wide receivers in the league now. I hadn't seen him do it, and that's why I didn't think he was going to do it. But he certainly's proven me wrong. So,
all right, stop talking for a second.
Yep.
Alshon Jeffrey caught another pass. I got my 1 point.
Nice. There you go. Okay. End of the third quarter. I need another touchdown here by Wentz.
I could use another 10. Really, if he throws a 30-yard touchdown to Alshon, that'd be great because that would get me the win.
Nice.
All right, but I really hate that you're such a nice guy about this because I want to just like rub it all up in your face, but you're making it not easy to be a jerk about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when a guy does what he's done this season, it's hard to be a stubborn sports fan and just stick
your heels in the ground and just hold your opinion. Be a man.
I held my opinion as long as it made me not look totally stupid. So, and when that happened, then I've come around. So, yeah.
All right, go. Keep going.
Yeah. So the Lions, for the Detroit Lions, I had Kerryon Johnson over 1,000 yards rushing, and that the Lions would cut Ameer Abdullah. One of those two things did happen. Abdullah got cut. Mm-hmm. But Kerryon, because of the injuries, he's not going to get to 1,000 yards. It looked like he might have had a shot at it.
I extrapolated it out, and it was like 960 something. So if he had one above average game, he would have had it. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't. Regardless of if you got it this season, you got the idea right. Like he's the deal there. He's going to be the guy when he's healthy,
right?
And that's the important part of this. So I'm going to give you the victory on that.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it. I'll take it anyway and get it. So
I wish you had this victory coming up.
Yeah. So my Vikings take was that Dalvin Cook would be a top five running back, and that did not happen.
I mean, he looks good now.
A lot better. I know. Yeah, I was just going to say that too. I mean, he looks now like the guy that I think we saw the first 4 weeks of last season.
Yeah, and he's getting the work because last week was a little scary because he did not. But he caught a bunch of passes. He got a bunch of runs. And honestly, no one should get 100% of carries. I mean, I'm fine letting Lat Murray take 5 or 10 a game. If that means a fresh Dalvin Cook for the rest of them. So I'm still on the Dalvin Cook train. I think that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I still like Cook too, especially over the next couple of years. I don't know that he's going to have a super long career. I mean, running backs don't in general anyways.
But he's got those injuries piling up.
He's got the knees. He's had shoulder injuries. He's, from back in college, he was always banged up. So, I hope he does. I mean, he's exciting to watch. So I hope he does. And I also don't want to get murdered by Viking fan. I like Cook a lot here and especially again over the next couple of seasons. So,
all right, cool.
And then my Bears take was that Tariq Cohen would have an Alvin Kamara like season,
Alvin Kamara like game.
Yeah, well, yeah. So the thing with
shows
me,
it's possible.
The thing with me with Cohen, I mean, he's a frustrating guy because he's so explosive. He's so explosive with the ball in his hands. I think he's capable of doing some of the. Now he's smaller, so he's going to get banged up. I mean, Alvin Kamara, for as small as everybody thinks he is, he's not really that small. So, I mean, I think he's around 210 pounds. That's not that small.
He also finds a way to not take like the brunt of impact. I haven't seen enough of Cohen to see how he handles tackles, but like. People seem to slide off of Kamara.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They really do. Unless you're a Dallas defender that's using your helmet.
Oh,
that was a nasty hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, no, I mean, Cohen is not Alvin Kamara, obviously. But I do think he's explosive. I mean, he's probably never going to have an Alvin Kamara type season either. I mean, Kamara did it again this year for the most part. So, he's turned into an elite player in the league, and Cohen still is kind of more of a scat guy, yeah, a little bit. You know, he's had double digit carries on the ground one time this season. So he's not handling, you know, the rushing work, for the most part, for the Bears. So, and that's even with a Jordan Howard that's not really produced much this year. So, but he's caught 59 passes, you know, so he is a threat in the receiving game. But yeah, he's not Alvin Kamara. So sorry about that one. But what about you, Russ? You have your North.
All right, we could jump to my NFC North. We already did my Packers. My Lions is that Marvin Jones and Golden Tate will finish outside of the top 20 wide receivers. And while Golden Tate is no longer actually on the Lions, yeah, that's still a big old check mark. My reasoning at the time was they were going to spread the ball around too much. And while it does seem like they spread the ball around, that offense just kind of fell apart on its own. And well, this week, right now, Tate finally seems to be getting worked into the offense, but up until this point, he had not. I mean, but at this point, you guys will know how it's going, but he is 5 for 71 with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion catch. Of course, the week I'm playing against him, he has 20 points. You know, no big deal. I'm not crying about it. Crying about it a little bit. The Vikings, Diggs will play all 16 and will be a top 5 wide receiver. So Diggs has missed one game because he played this week, even though he wasn't supposed to. And points per game, he is wide receiver 7. I think, while I may call this one a miss, I think he's shown that he is capable of at least a higher tier than people had him in at the end of last season. So the point is there, whether I got it actually right or not.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, he's in a different tier. I mean, he's higher than I think what a lot of people had him. He's a guy that I've acquired in a lot of leagues coming into this year and then also during the season. Limited a little bit this past week. Actually didn't look limited in the game, but was banged up a little bit. He was a game time decision this past week. He had 5 catches for 49 yards. So not a typical Diggs performance, but you know, he did get out there and he's shown he had the other thing is a target monster. He and Thielen both. I mean, those two in the passing game in Minnesota just dominate the targets. So the opportunity's there. He's explosive. He catches everything around. If he can just stay healthy, man. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If he can just be 100% healthy all the time, you know, he's got the talent to be an elite wide receiver in this league.
Speaking of, I was about to say not elite wide receivers in this league, but I think that might be too mean of a transition. My Bears take was that Allen Robinson was going to outplay his wide receiver 13 ADP and bring himself back up to that elite wide receiver status, and he did not do that. He had a little bit of injury. He had a little bit of the beginning of the season where they were trying to find their groove. And even after they did, they spread the ball around so well. He's looked good at times, especially like this week. He grabbed a lot of those Allen Robinson jump up and grab the ball out of someone else's. I think, was it him that grabbed it off of someone's helmet this week?
That was it.
So, yeah, he looks good, which means I think I still feel good about Allen Robinson as a player and as an asset. But, yeah, it did not happen this year.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really didn't. I mean, he had a stretch there early in the season where it was a rough stretch. I mean, if he hadn't scored touchdowns in a couple of those games, he would have been seriously off the radar. He had a game, the New England game, week 7, 1 catch, 4 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was ugly the first half. Then he was banged up, came back and had the huge game against Detroit. Over 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then the last 3 weeks have been kind of pedestrian as well. With this past Sunday, was his best of the 3, 5 for 79. So, yeah, I'm with you. We've talked before about the Allen Robinson thing, and, I still believe in his talent. I think he's a talented player. Like you said, they spread the ball around quite a bit. The good news is he's got a quarterback with a good arm that can get him the ball. It's just a matter of, is he going to be targeted? and will he get enough work? You know, as the wide receiver one, he should be the wide receiver one in that offense, but every week it seems like a different guy. You know, we'll have to see moving forward. He's still young. That's the one thing about A-Rob too, that a lot of people, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's still only 25 years old. So it's not like he's, you know, it's not like he's as old as he seems.
Yeah, he's not there's at his prime yet.
Right. Right. So there's still time for him to, you know, regain, you know, some of the form, at least, maybe not the full deal, but some of the form that he had back in the 15 season where he was 1400 yards and 14 touchdowns. He may never hit those numbers again. But I think he can, you know, he can get back up over 1,000 yards and 7-8 touchdowns. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I was right there with you on this one.
All right, well, that's the NFC North. Why don't you hit us with your AFC North stuff?
Okay, so my AFC North stuff.
Oh, I loved the first half of this.
Yeah, it was not pretty. The Browns. Well, yeah, the Browns will win more than last. The Browns will win more games than the last 2 years combined, which was literally only one win.
One game. Yeah.
Yes. So they have done that.
Yay.
And then the other part of that was that Tyrod would start all 16 games, and that obviously didn't happen. So
it did not happen.
No. Bengals, we already talked about with AJ Green being a top 12 wide receiver, which he is not going to finish in the top 12. The Steelers, I had that they would have two 1,000 yard receivers, which they actually already do, I believe.
I think last week AB was at 874.
Right, and I think he got enough to get him up over.
Which I did not think that Juju would get there first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brown has 1028 now, so they have 2,000 yard receivers. So that one actually did pan out for me. And I love both of those guys. So,
yeah.
And then the Ravens.
Wait, don't move on yet.
Yep.
Startup time. Who do you take first, Juju or AB?
So I participated in the DLF mocks for December ADP.
Mm-hmm.
I took AB, and Juju went two spots later, and I seriously debated those two wide receivers in that spot.
When was it?
I was the last pick of the round, so I drafted I drafted Antonio Brown at 201.
Mm-hmm.
And Juju went at 203. So 13th overall and 15th overall.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I was about to say
that's shockingly low for AB, but it might not be anymore. I mean, I think I would take him earlier just because hashtag team wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that 3-0 that is going to scare too many people.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing about Brown is, you know, he's having a down year, right?
Let's hear the down year.
Well, it's 81 catches for 1,028 yards and 12 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to end up finishing with a career high in touchdowns. Most likely.
Yeah.
Four games left. His career high so far is 13 in 2014. So he only needs two more to beat that. He'll probably be around 1,300 yards receiving or so, and he'll still be up over 100 catches for the sixth straight season, which I don't think's been done. Because I think last year I read something about he was the only wide receiver to do five straight 100 catch seasons. I'm looking up Marvin Harrison right now because he's the only one I think that would have possibly had.
Yeah, I'll fill the void. The only thing I think anyone could really say against Antonio Brown is Roethlisberger, because mm-hmm. yeah, there is a weird thing where when it's not Ben playing, Antonio kind of disappears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could say at all that Antonio Brown has lost a step. And besides, he doesn't need his speed. That dude's footwork is like
perfection, a thing of beauty, all other horribly cliched things to say, but how great they are. Like, that dude is going to be able to get open as long as he can walk.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Brown's one of those guys, like you said. I mean, he's going to be able to play. He's going to be able to play as long as his body's in tip-top shape. I mean, he hasn't really had a lot of serious injuries. He had the calf last year that happened late in the year. And then he came back and played injured against Jacksonville and caught like 10 balls and two touchdowns and 200 yards or something like that. So in a loss, of course. Brown, he's going to be one of those guys. His value is going to start dropping in dynasty leagues, but his production isn't necessarily going to be dropping. So he's a guy that I would look at in drafts and in leagues moving forward as a value guy, because his production is going to outperform. You know, he's still going to be performing as a top 10 player, and you're going to be able to get him late teens, you know, early 20s.
Yeah. So if you're in your dynasty leagues and you have like an early and a late first, I see what the Antonio Brown owner is thinking.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd gladly pay that.
Okay. I interrupted you. Let's hear your Ravens.
Yeah. So my Ravens take was that Lamar Jackson would start before the end of the season and that Joe Flacco will retire. So Jackson has started. He started week 11. And whether or not Joe Flacco retires is yet to be seen. I mean,
he has been extremely quiet about anything. There hasn't been even any of that athlete speak of, yeah, I'm going to get back as soon as I can. I'm going to wait till 100%. Like none of either side of whether he's going to play, whether he's going to sit or anything. I guess he's not really a vocal dude in the first place, but yeah, literally nothing. I don't think I've read a single thing about it.
Yeah, nothing at all. Nothing at all. And it's a little bit strange. I mean, he's, like you said, he's not a real vocal guy, but as the quarterback of an NFL franchise, you're a leader by the position you play. Right. So, and this is a guy that's won a Super Bowl, at the helm of that offense. So, you know, I mean, you would have expected to hear something, from him, but we haven't. I mean, it's been very, very quiet, so we'll see what happens, but, that one's still a possibility as well.
All right. Well, my next one is not a possibility. The Cleveland Browns, my take was that Jarvis Landry was going to be a top 12 wide receiver and that he would do it in true wide receiver one fashion, which means high A dot, big plays, lots of touchdowns, the opposite of everything that he did this season. I mean, there's splashes of it. He's gotten the targets. They have not turned into anything. He has ridiculously low yards per catch. He has very few touchdowns. He had a really good game this week. It's his first good week with Kitchens as the offensive coordinator. I have no idea what to think, but he's young and talented, so I'm not scared off of him or anything. I'm not going to go sell him low. I'm going to wait to see what that team turns into next year, see who their coach is, see who their OC is. And I mean, I have faith that they'll find a way to get Landry involved, because it's not like they can get rid of him anytime soon.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Jarvis is one of those players that's going to be bounce back real big next season. So,
all right. The Bengals, I had that Tyler Eifert will miss most of the season or get cut, and Tyler Croft will finish as a tight end one. I got part of that right. Yeah.
The Eifert part for sure. Yeah.
And yeah, we'll forget about that second part. Steelers, Vance McDonald will be a top 12 tight end and Juju will be outside of the top 20 wide receivers. Nope. Tight end, Vance McDonald is technically tight end 13 in points per game. I was trying to find a little bit of victory in that because I was very, very wrong about Juju. And honestly, I remember I listened back to this and I said it wasn't that Juju is bad. It's just that there were so many hurt wide receivers and quarterbacks that it would just sort of naturally fill in. Mm-hmm. But no, Juju's the real deal. He's good. That boy's good.
Very.
And to finish up the North, my Ravens take was that that Alex Collins was going to have over 1,400 total yards and score double-digit touchdowns. I wrote nope three times. Nope.
Yeah, that one there was one of your worst ones as far as like reaching out, but hey, you know, I mean, it looked good at the beginning of the season for him at least to have the opportunity to for now 1400 yards was very
ambitious. Oh yeah, no, I was shooting for the freaking moon on that.
But you know, I don't think anybody, well, I don't know, I can't say that. There's probably a lot of people, because Alex Collins was a polarizing player as well, but I was with you in terms of seeing him as a productive back for fantasy purposes and in that backfield. You know, and then Buck Allen happened, and then
all right, I'm gonna lie and say that I'm trying to save time, and that's why I'm cutting you off, but I just really want to talk about how wrong I was. So that finishes the AFC and NFC North. We're gonna go to the
South.
So we did East and West last week, and I've been saying the wrong thing all this time, is what it comes down to. Whoops. Okay. not good, Brian.
I must have not been listening, or I would have caught it, so sorry about that.
Right, so Stoops was our guest for
Stoops
for the South. Yeah, and let's get started. His Panthers take was that Cam Newton was going to score 40 plus total touchdowns. He was at 26 last week. I think he put up two throwing touchdowns this week. Still, I don't think he's reaching 40, but yeah, I want him to.
He did score two this past week, so he needs three a game for the last four to hit that.
I mean, that's, I mean, not likely, but very doable.
Actually, that's not entirely true. He had, no, that is entirely true. So he's got 28 total.
Yeah,
24 passing and 4 rushing. So he needs 12. So he needs 3 a game. Yep.
Again, doable, not likely.
Right.
This one sort of tied in with yours for the Bucks that Chris Godwin was going to be the wide receiver 2 on the team. Now, he was talking real football, and even with DeSean Jackson healthy, I think Godwin took that role. And your take was that he was going to finish as a fantasy wide receiver 2, and that did not happen. I think if he had a stable quarterback, he probably would have.
But yeah, I think so. I've been saying this for a very long time, but I think Godwin, like, literally, I've been saying this since March. Now's a good time to buy Chris Godwin. Like, he is a wide receiver 3. He's currently the wide receiver 32, or he was before this week, although he had a big week this past week. So
yeah, he put up over 100 yards for sure.
Right, so he may be even higher now than he was previously. But, yeah, I just, you know, look, Adam Humphreys.
Yeah.
If Adam Humphreys was not there, which he's there, so you got to deal with it, but if he was not there, I think Chris Godwin would just be an absolute animal. I really do.
I think Humphreys is in his last year, right?
I believe. Well, I know Jackson. They're going to cut DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, he gets money, and they're not going to want to give him money. And I tried to buy Humphreys for a playoff run, and someone told me that they think Humphreys is going to do well on his next team next year. So I assume they at least think he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, could be. I'm really not sure on that one.
All right, it's not important enough because it's Adam Humphreys.
Yeah,
but we're going to move on.
I was just going to say, the bottom line is I think Godwin is a guy that is going to continue to grow and continue to develop into a player that you're going to want to own in Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, because in Dynasty, you're betting on talent, and that dude is talented.
Right, absolutely.
The Saints, let's get on to this one that everyone could get behind, that Michael Thomas is the wide receiver 1. He was talking about fantasy on the year, which he was wide receiver 4, even though he's been on this 2-game skid that is tilting me upside down.
Yeah.
Your prediction was 1,400 plus yards and double digit touchdowns. He, as of last week, had 1,080 yards and 8 touchdowns, and he was on pace for both of those because he was averaging around 100 yards a game when there was 4 games left. Well, 5 games left of the season, and 2 more touchdowns to get it. He had another bad week, so that sort of hurts him a little bit, but I still think that's going to happen.
And we, I mean, I was having Twitter discussions on whether he should be the wide receiver one in Dynasty. So whether these come completely true or not, I'm going to say close enough. Like, we believed coming into the season that he was the real deal, and he's still showing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love Michael Thomas. He has hit a couple rough game stretch here, but, you know, all players go through that during a season. It's a long season, and usually most guys have a game or two where they're not on, and Thomas has had plenty where he has been on. So, and yeah, I absolutely think he's in the discussion as the top wideout.
Yeah. To round up the NFC South, the Falcons, Calvin Ridley will be the number one rookie in receiving yards, and Julio Jones will be a high-end wide receiver too. Before last week, this was correct. I don't know if DJ Moore skipped him. I don't think DJ Moore was actually directly behind him, but Ridley had a very bad week, and DJ Moore had a good week. But Julio is a high-end wide receiver too, and Ridley at the time was the number one rookie in yards. But he had the second most receptions out of a rookie. Who has the most receptions by any rookie?
Baquon.
Baquon. First of all, a running back has the most, and it's by 20. Before last week, it was 24, and I'm sure he greatly extended that.
Dude,
he's so good.
He's so good. Like, it's, I mean, I know people that listen to this show have to be sick of hearing about it.
You know what? Right? So, no, if they're sick of hearing it from you, they're going to hear it from me for a second. Oh, like, it's not that I ever wanted to dislike him because of how much you liked him, but it's just like, all right, the dude has the Homer love for it. But the more I watch, the more it's like, it doesn't matter if it's Homer love you're feeling. It's real.
He jumped over a dude.
Yeah,
like, not he didn't hurdle him, he jumped over top of him,
straight up left over a guy.
Yes.
Like, he finds a way to slip between people, doesn't get hit. It's just, he is so good, and the way he doesn't take these hits is going to make his career last longer. It's not like he's the guy that's going to duck his head and look for the contact. He slips between guys, he spins off of guys, stiff arms the heck out of dudes. And, you know, they, like, just bounce off his giant calves anyway. No, thighs, not calves. Well, I'm sure his calves are wonderful, but... So, all right, this was not supposed to be about Baquon, and it's gone too far. So why don't you stop me from talking and get into Stoops's AFC South stuff?
Yes. So Stoops, with his AFC South, the Colts, both Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, top 12 tight ends. So Ebron is, he's tight end 4, and Doyle is done for the year. So he will not finish as a top 12 tight end. But Ebron, whew, your boy, Eric Ebron.
My boy.
Titans, Deion Lewis will finish somewhere between running back 11 and running back 14. That also did not happen. And is unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of unlikely running backs, his next two.
Yeah, for sure. So Lewis was the RB 24, running back 24 before this past week. And then his next one, also the Texans, Lamar Miller, will finish as a top 10 running back. He is the running back 23 currently. So neither of those ones panned out quite the way that Stoops was hoping they would, but they've been all right, though. I mean, they're both running back 2s, so it's not like they were, you know, terrible or anything. And then the Jaguars, Leonard Fournette will play all 16 games and be a top 3 running back, and that one is a nope.
On many, many accounts.
Yeah. I think he's talented enough that if he were to play all 16, that he would
probably
be close. But yeah, dude just can't stay on the field.
All right. Well, those were Stoops's. Let's just jump straight into yours.
Yeah. So this one's one of the ones that I've definitely been watching and liking my chances. For the Panthers, I had Christian McCaffrey at 1,700 plus total yards and double-digit touchdowns, and that was total touchdowns, receiving and rushing. And he currently is over the double-digit touchdowns already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was only like 200 and some yards away going into last week. And then he had an insane week where he was over 100 yards. Well, last week he was over 100 yards rushing and receiving. This week he was over 100 yards rushing again, and he had 55 receiving yards. So he's up to 1,526.
That's crazy.
1,526 total yards, and he has 11 total touchdowns.
That's crazy.
In 12 games.
That's crazy. And he hasn't even, like, stubbed his toe, I don't think.
No. Nope. No, he's had an unbelievable season. And the other amazing stat that I see out there about him, he's played 97% of their offensive snaps.
Insane.
97%.
Like, I mean, that's officially become a Christian McCaffrey podcast.
I mean, any questions you had about this dude and whether or not he can be a full-time running back, you know, bell cow, I mean, what are you saying right now? I mean, good grief, this dude's ridiculous. And he's good. I mean, when you watch him play, too, he's super electric. Every time he touches the ball, it's like, is he going to go? Is he going to go?
A lot of the times he goes,
yeah. Yeah, McCaffrey's been unreal this year.
All right, well, we heard your Bucks and your Saints, so let's hit up your Falcons.
Yeah, my Falcons take was that Julio Jones would score double-digit touchdowns and be the wide receiver one, which neither of these are going to come to fruition.
He's having a terrible, terrible year, though.
He's having another terrible year. He's currently the wide receiver five. So, I mean, you might as well just drop him. He's not even worthy of being rostered in your leagues. Hashtag never Julio. So
never Julio.
But here's the thing that's funny about this. If Julio Jones, so he only has three touchdowns this season. If he were to have double touchdowns, I believe he would be the wide receiver one.
Yeah, if he actually caught some touchdowns.
I mean, the yardage numbers are there again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he doesn't have the touchdowns. So
we're going to see how wrong I've been.
All right.
We're going to do my NFC North.
Yeah.
My Panthers take was that DJ Moore was going to be the rookie wide receiver one in fantasy points. As of last week, he was second to Ridley by 28 points. I don't think he scored 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, hold on, I could actually get this one pretty quick. Not as quick as I would have liked. No, he's still behind by... Well, I did something wrong because he's behind by 34.
Mm.
And really didn't really score 5 points, and DJ Moore scored 10. So I was clearly wrong in my math last week. Because Ridley has 162 and DJ Moore has 128.
Okay.
So yeah, it's 34 yep. points. So
yep.
That would have been embarrassing. I still think it's going to happen. Ridley doesn't really... When the Falcons' game plan is even going as it's supposed to be, Ridley still weirdly is behind Sanu for some reason. And DJ Moore is more and more becoming the game plan besides Christian McCaffrey. Which is... I said this was also because I think they were going to change the offense in Carolina, and I think they have, and I think it's awesome. I'm a very big fan of what they're doing in there. Him and Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, very big fan of it.
Yeah, they look a lot different than they looked in past years. So,
my Bucks take was that Mike Evans was going to return to his former glory. He's the wide receiver 10. Compared to how much hate there is for Mike Evans, I'm going to say that's pretty glorious. I did not give much specifics, so I'm just going to take a victory because, I mean, you can't say I'm wrong.
Well, he's already at 11, 21, and 5 touchdowns, and that's through 12 games. So, I mean, he's going to finish probably somewhere around 1,400 yards on 85 catches.
Four straight years of 1,000 yards. I mean,
this will be five now.
Yep. Dude's got 14, 15. Yeah, dude.
Yep.
Stop the hate. That's all I'm saying. Stop the hate.
That's right. I'm with you there, too. Yep.
All right. Speaking of hate, here's one that went wrong on me. I said that Alvin Kamara was going to finish below the running back eight and that it would drop him out of, I think I said the running back 10 in Dynasty. I just started blah-blahing a lot about efficiency and stuff like that, and I was just trying to be bold, and it did not work in my favor. Actually, to be fair, it worked in my favor because I have Kamara on a few teams. So, yeah, completely wrong on this one. Another one I was wrong on was that we were going to start to see the decline of Matt Ryan. I said Matt Ryan was going to finish below the QB 18, and he had a bad week last week, so it's a little worse than it was then, but he was the QB 4 before this game. So, again, completely wrong. But again, I have him on a few teams, so that's fine. Why don't you hit us with your AFC South?
Okay, so my AFC South, for the Indianapolis Colts, I had that Andrew Luck will be the dynasty quarterback one next season.
I tried to look up ADP, and again, he was the same, I think.
So here's my thought process going into to this one. I believe, if I remember correctly, and I'm not just saying this to get a win on this one, but I believe what I meant by this was that he will be in ADP.
Yeah, Dynasty QB1.
Right.
That is what you meant.
That he will not be that unless Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. But I think there's a legitimate chance that he'll be the QB2. And we've talked before, outside of Stompy and maybe Mandrew, I don't know that there was anybody that thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be the QB1 going into next season. No, so,
I think, like, we've seen this with Watson and with Wentz, that it's, call it one all you want, it's a little bit of a roller coaster with the young guys. I think we'll see as we get into the offseason and, like, start to get into the actual next draft season where it's not as much about youth as it is during the offseason, that I think we'll find Luck start to climb his way back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's where was he? He was 7 in November. My guess is he will be higher than that in December. I bet he'll be top 5 in December. I'm pretty sure he did at least in the mock that I did. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't see why not. Hopefully it was before the
Jags.
Yeah. Because other than that, he's been on a ridiculous touchdown streak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the best part about this whole thing, we won't spend too much more time on it, but the best part about this whole thing is just seeing him get back to being Andrew Luck, because, you know, before the shoulder thing, he was unreal. And to watch him play again the way that he plays, and you know, the big goofy grin and the beard and all that stuff. It's nice to see him return to form. At least in my opinion. I mean, if you're a fan of one of these other teams in the South, maybe not, but
whatever. I think it's just good for football when we have
right. Exactly.
One of these guys playing at the top of their game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, for the Titans, I had that Corey Davis would become a top 20 dynasty asset during the year. And that one really didn't hit. He was up around 30, I believe, in the early in the season. He's dropped now in November to 47.
In November, yeah. I think he's going to climb in December.
I do too.
He's been coming on the past few games, but that offense has been clicking.
He has. I doubt he's going to make the top 20, though. At least not this season/offseason.
But I think it'll start trending up.
I do too.
Yeah, which it should.
Yep. And then for the Texans, I had Deshaun Watson will be the quarterback one overall, which he's the QB 10 heading into this past weekend. So he's not going to finish as the quarterback one.
His volume's been very low. It's not a lack of talent of any sort. So, I mean, I'm not off him at all in Dynasty.
Yeah, same here. I still think he's super talented. And then the Jaguars, I had Austin Safarian Jenkins being the tight end 8. And that's a big no.
Yeah, it's a big no.
So he had a season-ending injury, I think, 5 weeks into the year, but he wasn't I mean, he wasn't doing anything anyway, so.
Yeah, but I also had my great joke that they grabbed ASJ and then they brought a second tight end and Dante Moncrief in. So I thought your pick was doomed anyway.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
But that's, oh man, that team's a mess. Just wait till we get to mine. Well, first we're going to start with my Colts, where I said T.Y. Hilton was going to be a top 12 wide receiver, but still find a way to go down in ADP. He is wide receiver 16 in points per game because he missed a few games. And from October to November, he went down 8 spots in ADP. And I'm going to guess he's going even lower nowadays in whatever December is going on right now. So I'm going to take this as a victory, even though maybe not top 12. He's still performing as a very good fantasy asset. But
yeah, for sure.
Age, and he never really gained the steam he should have in the dynasty world. Maybe because he came on at a little too late of age. I don't know what it was, but I was always much bigger T.Y. till you die, baby, than anyone else was. Well, not anyone else, but most people. Marcus Mariota will be a top 7 quarterback. To be fair, since the week 8 bye, he has been.
Hey, if we were playing half seasons here,
yeah,
it would have been a win.
We should look into that. yeah, that offense took a lot longer to click, and Mariota's health was always bleh with his elbow. But that offense is starting to look good. Even the running backs are looking kind of good. Henry's scoring touchdowns at an ungodly rate. Lewis looks decent when he runs the ball. So, I mean, I'm feeling good about the offense. I was very scared for a while because they looked lost and bad. But Mariota still makes a couple of those, like, what? Throws? But, I think this is aiming in the right direction. I think this is opposite of my Alex Collins call.
Yeah, I hope you're right on this one, and mainly for Corey Davis, because I think if Marcus Mariota and Corey Davis can get on the same page, you know, that could be something special moving forward. So we'll see what happens. He has looked a lot better the second half of the year for sure.
Yeah, and my next take was for the Texans that DeAndre Hopkins was going to finish outside of the top 6 wide receivers. If you had to guess what wide receiver he was right now, what would you guess?
I mean, I would have guessed top 4.
6. Yeah. Wide receiver 6 right now. Julio is behind him by 1.2.
Oh.
But he is 12.1 away from Michael Thomas, who was the wide receiver 5. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have Nuke on a couple of teams, and I've come around on Nuke. At the beginning of the season, I was not that high on him. He is the wide receiver 1, even with Odell doing a little better. Nuke is so good. I know. Like, it's, it feels so weird to not hashtag always Odell, but Nuke is just, he's so good.
He is. His hands are ridiculous.
He catches feet, everything. Like, just his body control is, yep. Oh, he's so good. So whether I'm right about this or not, I don't feel good about it. I want to pretend that one never happened. Speaking of wanting to pretend it never happened, I said that Blake Bortles was going to finish as a top 10 quarterback. I did put in the little thing that he was going to be terrible for real life, but still be good in fantasy. But no, he's been terrible all around.
We all got sucked in by the Blake.
Yeah.
Bobby Koch infected us with the Blake. And now we all caught it.
And we got our vaccines.
We're
getting healthy again.
That's right. Cody Kessler season.
Cody, yeah. We'll just look for next season, see who they draft.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, it's been 1 hour and 8 minutes. That was all of our bold takes. I think we'll save the hot takes for the next episode. Pull it together with something nice. We'll figure something out good. We have a couple of Trade Addicts trades to talk about, so we're going to jump into that.
Trade Addicts trades.
I alluded earlier before that we had a Larry Fitzgerald trade to talk about. in Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with a little bit of points for return yardage. That doesn't seem to come into play on this one. Any of these. Our first is a Trade Addicts 2 trade, which was a 19 third and a 20 third for Larry Fitzgerald. Now, this was before the Christian Kirk injury, but if you could do this now, I think I'd be like smashing my phone to try and get this if I'm competing. Because, I mean, Fitz was still getting his targets, a decent, we'll say a decent target share of the 12 completions that Josh Rosen was throwing. But if you're competing, a couple of thirds should mean absolutely nothing to you. So if you have a guy that you think is going to produce and you still have don't have a trade deadline, still be willing to do this. There's no trade deadline, so don't be afraid to make some trades. I think we're going to pick a day in the offseason and talk about trade deadlines, by the way.
That sounds good to me.
I did not look up any of the percentages on these because I didn't care at the time. They all are very, again, it's tough to do percentages of Twitter polls because, you know, everyone's going to look at it from, like, right now, narrative matters in these trades. So, and that's always tough to really key in on. This value-wise leans a little bit to Fitz to me, and I want Fitz on my team, but if I have Fitz and I can't get anything else, I'll take two-thirds for him.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I mean, I think Fitzgerald definitely, especially to a contender, has that type of value easily. You know, but for a team and in this context, this is, again, one of those scenarios. You know, when it's put into context, it made sense for both teams. So, I mean, I think the value, again, is on the Fitzgerald side in the short term, especially. But there's, you know, it's a fine trade for what both of these guys were trying to do. So
the Eagles are not making this easy on me.
No. Well Carson, I'm happy because Carson Wentz has scored.
Game's over. Okay. Hold on. How are they kneeling with a minute 47 left?
Minute 07, 107.
Okay, so where is it? Two seed baby. I don't care. I lost the matchup, but dude in third place also lost the matchup and I just obliterated him in points.
So the Cowboys beat the Saints this past week, right? On Thursday night.
Yeah, they did.
It's a little bit of a tangent.
Let's do it.
So the Cowboys beat the Saints, mm-hmm. and everybody and their mother, and especially everybody in Texas.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it was like the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, that probably was their Super Bowl.
They're 7-5. The Eagles. Okay, it is pretty good, right? Cowboys, like, were horrible early in the year, right? Mm-hmm. And then they've gotten on this streak, basically since Amari Cooper came over, which is really strange. But
not so strange. Know,
and this defense has developed, right? Their defense is legit. Their defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
Vander Esch has been unbelievable, and, you know, Smith and some of those other guys. I mean, they have a very good defense. And Sean Lee's been out, so, I mean, he's not even in there. The Eagles are one game back after this win. They're 6-6. So everybody, the Eagles have sucked all year. Like, all I've heard about is how bad the Eagles are. Eagles are terrible. They suck. They're one game back in the division after all this stuff. After this monumental Dallas win that's sending the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, the Eagles are one game back. The Eagles are going to win the East. I'm calling it right now.
And this is a bold take episode. You might as well throw it in there. I mean, that's not Super Bowl seeing as how they're one game back, but whatever. It fits. I'll take it.
Yep.
Man, I really... Oh, if we did that before we talked about this trade, and I would have been like, speaking of fits, here's the trade. Oh, Brian!
I'm sorry.
Well, speaking of trades that have nothing to do with anyone with fits in their last name, let's do a Trade Addicts 4 trade. This is another one between a contending and a rebuilding team. Again. Yep. Tough to say rebuilding. Actually, no, I don't think X is going to make the playoffs, so this isn't even rebuilding. Oh, no, it's the other guy. X actually traded away at 21st, which was why I got confused. If you guys know the top, anybody listening knows the top shelf guys. They love their 2021sts. But he's eking his way into the playoffs. So he sent a 19-3rd and a 2021st for Gus Edwards and Matt Breda. Now, this was before the game, so he had no idea that Matt Breda was going to get hurt and already be ruled out for next week. So, right.
Yeah.
But Gus Edwards is like the new hot ticket.
Yeah.
What did he do this week? Does anybody know? Anybody as in you who's listening to me right now?
He ran. He ran the ball. For, oh my. Yeah, I don't know what he did.
I'm pulling it up.
I was trying to pull it up real quick too and couldn't.
So 21 attempts, 82 yards.
That's not a bad day. Did he score? No.
Did he score a 2-point conversion or something? Because he has 10.3 points on 82 yards.
Oh yeah, he must have.
Right?
Because that's must have either that or they get point some type of fractional point for carries.
0.1 point per carry.
Yeah.
And that's 2.1. So 8.2, which is a steady for, I mean, I don't know if that's worth 2021st or anything, but the combination of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think if Breda was healthy, if he was healthy, I think, especially for a contender, I think I'd do that. I mean, he's been good. He's been really good.
He's been very good, and even when he's playing through his injuries.
Right.
So, and the way I like, I know, again, ever since we talked about the top shelf guys, like 2021sts have been like manna from the heavens. But it's a pick 2 years out. Right. You're going to get that back at a later time. That's really what it comes down to. So if I can, it's a disposable asset. If I could send a disposable asset to get two guys who could get into my starting lineup, I'll do that so easily.
Yep.
And knowing X, he had like six of them, so sparing one isn't really the biggest deal.
Right. No, I agree.
But again, if you're rebuilding, getting all those picks is wonderful.
Right.
See, like, yeah. Again, like, maybe we should be taking listener trades so we could actually make fun of someone for making some bad trades, because our guys make good trades.
Yeah. Most of the trades in the Trade Addicts Leagues are usually pretty good value-wise. Occasionally, you get one that's, you know, a little out of whack, but
usually mine.
Usually yours.
Yeah.
You're usually taking advantage of the other owners in your league.
Hey, they should show their appreciation for me creating these leagues. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not calling it collusion. I'm just saying they should give me an unfair trade.
You're going to have to throw a first in on top of that because I let you into this league.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not taking advantage of anyone. I'm just telling them like how it is. That's what it is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. We have something happened in Trade Addicts 3. Fugazi Life FB.
Oh, this is Joe's deal, huh?
Fugazi has gone the entire season. This?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Seriously. Let a man talk.
No, I want to talk right over top of you. Go ahead.
I mean, I guess I deserve it after all this time. He has gone the entire preseason and season without trading. And then he hit up two this week, both of them with Trader Joe. So good for you, FF Trader Joe. I'll say it. In Joe's trade poll, he said he popped his trading cherry with. No, I'm going to edit that out. That's gross. I'm not going to edit that out. I'm too lazy for that. But the reason I really wanted to talk about this trade was because I feel like it's a situation a lot of people are in. Fugazi has Melvin Gordon on his team. And weirdly enough, I've seen about three Melvin Gordon trades, and all of them have been for Christian McCaffrey.
Huh.
Weird. This trade was Melvin Gordon, a 2019 third, 2021st and 2022nd. So Melvin Gordon, 19 third, 21st and second for Christian McCaffrey and Josh Adams. What do you think of this?
I like it. I like the deal. I think it's about as fair as it gets, to be honest with you. I mean, I think Gordon and McCaffrey, I think long term, I like the McCaffrey side here. I think, But Melvin Gordon is such a stud too, and his floor is so high.
Has he been healthy at the end of any season he's played?
Gordon?
Mm-hmm.
I think last year.
Because 2 years ago was...
2 years ago was the hip.
It was the Kenneth Farrow incident.
Right.
Where he like goose egged the week. Well, he sort of pulled an Eckler, I guess.
Right. Right. And then, yeah.
Wait,
I think
hold on. I need to tilt about Austin Eckler for a second and Justin Jackson. If anybody watched this game, the offensive line only blocked for Justin Jackson. And don't give me any of that, no, Justin Jackson was just better and made better of the holes. No, watch the game again. It's like they weren't even trying. Eckler was getting tackled in the backfield, and Justin Jackson had like 4 yards before contact. It was. All right, go. You talk. Oh, I need a minute.
So, I love Melvin Gordon, and I don't think the injury, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. I don't think the injury is going to be long-term. It's... Mm-hmm. You know, there are already reports that he could play this coming week, week 14, if all goes well.
Oh, yeah. 15 was like the worst case scenario.
15, right. 15 was like the worst case. So, you know, I think he's likely to play. I think if they'd have lost on Sunday night, he may have come back for sure this coming week, but because they won that game and it was a big game, puts them in position to, you know, in the AFC playoffs. I mean Texans are up there too, Patriots, good grief, Chiefs. Yeah, he'll probably come back. He'll probably play week 14 if he's... I mean, here's the thing, if he's good enough to be running and to be practicing and all that stuff already, he's probably going to play.
Yeah.
And if he plays, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about again last week, inserting him directly into your lineup. So it's not like you're... I think Chris's team is really good in this league.
Who?
Fugazi.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding.
his team is really good.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. I mean, he's really solid. You know, and he had Gordon. I think the injury probably scared him a little bit, because he's got a really, really good chance at winning the league. There's a couple of us that are chasing, but he's, you know, he's been the top team pretty much the whole season. So
trying to give you David Johnson.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. We'll have to talk.
All right, but hold on. Let's get back to trades for this trade specifically for a second.
Yeah, but here's the cool thing for him too. I like that he gets McCaffrey in this deal, because now he pairs McCaffrey with Saquon Barkley. That's an unbelievable pairing. Unbelievable pairing. And he's got Josh Adams there, who's no slouch. I mean, he's carrying...
I need to trash this league and start over. That's not fair.
You can't trash Trade Addicts 3, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll keep the same dudes. We'll just start it over.
Ah, okay. That works. I'm cool with that.
All right, but
I'm cool with that if he wins.
Okay, well, I'll like shut it down right before the end of the game, you know, okay, just so it doesn't officially happen. All right, Josh Adams, who seems to still be the guy. Let's hold on. Let me get my mouse working. Let's pull up. Nope, that's not the stats. Oh, stats. Eagles. Josh Adams got 20 touches, got 20 carries for 85 yards.
It's a good night.
Yeah, I mean, for all that talk of everything ever being always being a committee, he's kind of the workhorse there.
Yeah.
Whether that is next year or not, who knows? Their cap is in a terrible situation, so I don't think they're going to go sign Lev Bell or anything. So I think the most you'd have to be worried about is them maybe signing a real receiving back. I mean, I don't think you have to worry about them spending high capital on a big, bulky running back. So I think his job, I mean, 20 touches might not be safe, but I think his role in the offense as the running back is safe.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this trade. What about Josh Adams for a 19th third and 2022nd? I mean, that sounds kind of on point at this. I mean, are you really... you're not going to send a first present or future for Josh Adams, are you?
Probably not.
Exactly. So a second and a third.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then right now, Melvin Gordon and a first for CMC seems pretty on point also.
if you're a contender and you want someone healthy. Because while they're probably in the same tier, I just think no matter what Melvin Gordon does ADP-wise, CMC is going to be higher ADP-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think so if I was a Gordon owner and they were both healthy, I would never pay Gordon in a first.
Right, and this is his first, which means he thinks he's winning the championship and it's going to be the 112.
So it's a late, right, yeah. So, I mean, I think it makes sense for this particular situation. The
which
value,
is what we couldn't have to do at this time
right,
of the season.
Right, exactly. I think the value is slightly on the side Joe's receiving here, the Gordon and first side, but
I think I want the CMC
like
Adam side.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's getting trash. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, to get McCaffrey and Adams in this deal, I think is a good deal. This is an awesome trade.
Yeah.
Awesome trade.
Yeah. I hate how much these trades are all so good. Actually, I don't know why I hate it all. It's awesome. I love it. I had a friend who, my friends in my home leagues, for some reason, won't listen to this podcast and don't trust that, you know, anything I say on Twitter about Twitter is real. So I was trying to convince him about to join a new league I'm going to start, where I think I'm just going to throw, it's going to be like my version of a kitchen sink league, but like very dumbed down because I don't know half the stuff that's in that league. But like, you know, we're going to do a victory points show sometime in the off season, because I've been going nuts on that on Twitter and like a bunch of other stuff that I want to try and implement in a league, but I don't want to make any of the Trade Addicts leagues too different. So I think I might just start a random league out there, and I'm trying to see if he wants to join. And he's just like, he just doesn't trust a word I'm saying. You know, he's very, this is the way it's always been done kind of a fantasy football player.
Yep.
So I forgot at all where I started with this. Wow. Nope. Brain's gone. Why did I even start talking about this?
Apparently it was on the mind, my man.
Seriously, completely blank. I have no idea why the hell I started talking about this.
And now we're going to sit here and try to figure it out, too.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not editing this out either, so you guys better like my silence. I'm totally editing this out. Why did I start talking about this? It wasn't victory points.
This is funny.
Seriously, it's something to do with some league rule or something, right?
Well, we were talking about the trades, and you said seriously, being seriously excited. Make sure you edit all this.
Oh yeah, no, this is definitely going to.
Yeah, I can't. I don't really. I'm not exactly sure where we went there either with that one. But I was half zoned out too, thinking about how good Fugazi's team is.
I can't stand that. Because it was about trades, because I was saying how my friend doesn't believe half of the shit I say on Twitter about Twitter or anything like that. How I told him I have a league called Trade Addicts, and he just sort of scoffed at it. And then I looked it up. We've done 30 trades since the start of the season, the league. I've been in 11 of them.
Is that's in three?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, I'm just going to cut all this shit out, because I don't remember why the hell I started talking about this.
All right.
Wow. Maybe it was because I was going to talk about flipping the 20 picks or something. I don't know.
You're like, son of a bitch. I can't think of what it is.
Legitimately, like, I have no idea why the shit I started talking about this stuff. I don't even know how to transition out, because I have no idea what the hell I was talking about.
Well, I think I said something about... We agreed this being an awesome trade, and you were like,
I hate it.
You were like, I hate it. I really like it. So you could just go into the.
Yeah. So all right. All right. All right. Well, that's enough about that stuff. That's the end of our show sheet. But before it's the end of our show, our good friend Stoops. Who, thank you, Stoops, for running the Trade Addicts Pod account, because I am still too lazy to remember to check that. And he wanted me to pimp something out for him. He is running a college football bowl game pick'em pool. It is a $10 entry. Once you, if you hit up his pinned tweet. Why don't I have his freaking Twitter account?
Stoops. It is at Stoops 1990, which shows that he is very young.
Damn, not kids. Yeah. All right, so check out at Stoops 1990, his pinned tweet. It's about this college bowl pick'em. $10 to enter. Some spreadsheets are involved. I'm sure he wants you to join, so you should go do that because we appreciate Stoops. You should appreciate Stoops and give Stoops your money, and maybe you'll win. Maybe you won't. I'm not going to win because I'm probably not going to do it. Sorry, Stoops.
But I'll probably do it. I might do it. I might.
Yeah, you should. You're going to do it. Like, you know what? You'll do it twice. You'll do it once for me, too.
Okay.
I'm sure your wife will be okay with it. Trust me.
Sure.
Yeah, no problem.
It's just money. Yeah.
You're going to win it all back.
I'm going to win anyway. So.
Yeah. All right. But on that note, that is, in fact, the end of our show. It is... Man. This is so bad. This is terrible. I need to go to sleep, everybody. This is the end of our show. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening. Check out Brian's ranked 2QB Superflex rankings at DynastyLukeFootball.com. You have anything else to talk about? Do you do anything?
Do I do?
Like, do you
no.
Talk? Just, I, do you, no, I'm, you, I'm, you get a set. I don't want to talk again. I'm done.
So that's it, folks. We'll see you next week.
All right, stop talking. No, you're done. That was no practice.
practice.
Goodbye,
talking
everybody.
About practice.
Yeah. Playoffs.
See you, Outhouse.
See you, Brian.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe to the Trade Addicts.